Now, what about the issue of quality control? And that's addressed in this paper. And this has been a gigantic issue now for several years. But of course, now it's much more important because of this adjuvant situation. What's the bottom line in terms of both IHC as well as fish?
The bottom line is it's critical for surgeons, medical oncologists, you know, anybody who's caring for HER2-positive early-stage breast cancer. It's critical for you to know in your own hospital, in your own practice, what kind of methodology is being used by your pathologist, and has that methodology been validated against a standardized cohort? And that's what this paper really sets out to do, is to establish quality control standards for all community or even, you know, academic or reference laboratories, so that we're all singing from the same page and using the same methods, and then and only then can you expect to get concordant results between laboratories. So the critical thing is, how are they doing the test? Are they using immunohistochemistry? Are they using FISH? If they're using either one, what methodology are they using? Are they using established methodology that is in published guidelines from the College of American Pathology? Or, as we see all the time in community practice and even in academic labs, to this date we're still seeing this, are your local pathologists using some homebrew IHC assay that they like that they came up with independently? And if so, has that ever been validated against established reference tests? I think this paper really raised a lot of eyebrows, and what we're seeing now is that a higher percentage of pathology labs are conforming to these types of established guidelines. They're willing to do quality control testing in their labs and have certification by overseeing bodies and organizations who are charged with the mission of maintaining quality control in U.S. pathology labs. I think, you know, you can say to your pathologist, do you follow the guidelines as published by the ASCO CAP or not? And if not, why not?
But in other words, CAP doesn't come out there or ask to have stuff sent in? Or
no, this is all voluntary. This is still on a voluntary basis. And so that's why it's so critical for clinicians to know, you know, what the practice is at your institution, and also just to make some of the local pathologists maybe even aware that these guidelines are out there. I think the news hasn't spread everywhere yet that these are published, and that it's expected that labs will start to conform to these guidelines.
Now, it seemed like when these adjuvant trastuzumab studies were getting started in the beginning, that in the beginning there were problems in terms of the way the HER2, particularly in the NSABP and intergroup studies that were done, which allowed IHC, the way it was done, they were getting a whole bunch of false readings. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of tried to come up with a way to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And it looked like what they were mainly focusing on is having labs that use large volume.
Right.
But how did they solve the problem in terms of just getting good HER2 for the trials?
Well, it turned out that there was a fair relationship between volume of samples and quality control with regard to HER2 testing in reference laboratories. So they got around it just by centralizing the testing so that there's not variation from one lab to the next with regard to which antibody they use in the IHC and how long they let it incubate with the sample and the pre-analytical processing that we mentioned before. They tried to iron all those out just by using key reference labs that have standard procedures for the types of assays that were being used. And that really smoothed out the data considerably, but it didn't eliminate all of the problems with either assay.